Here we go. Okay, we're in Heavenly Places, page 240. If you have the book, it's August 21st, of course, today's date. It's titled Streams in the Desert. This is nice. We were just talking about this the other night, too, on the phone. Doesn't matter where you're at. You know, like some people... it was last night. It was that young woman I was talking to with friends where she actually goes to that holistic healer out there in Texas. And they told her to call me. And the thing was, should you prepare? And I says, well, what did Jesus say in Matthew 24? When he was talking about something that was going to happen 40 years later. Which also confirms why he's moving you towards a Sabbath, because she was wondering about, should we keep the seventh day? And I says, well, here you go. It's a beautiful phone call, I got to say. And, but yeah, if you come off the roof and you jump in the house and grab your coat and your keys and everything, no, you just take off. That shows absolute faith in Christ. Yeah, absolute. It's just like what some people say, why haven't you ever gotten a gun? Because I used to shoot stick, I can aim better than most. And, you know, but hey, I've seen the Lord's hand move. I'm not going to put my faith in my ability to pull the trigger. I'll put my faith in the God of all creation, who I've already seen his hand move many times. You know, especially reminds me of when we left the city, got off of welfare, couldn't find work for 16 months. It was 16 months. And, oh, it was amazing. It was kind of like a precursor or even a miniature harbinger to not being able to buy and sell. Because I couldn't. Didn't have two nickels rubbed together. But somehow we were able to make it. It was amazing. So anyway, Streams in the Desert. She starts off with Psalm 92:12, and it says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And she says, see the weary traveler toiling over the hot sand of the desert with no shelter to protect him from the rays of the tropical sun. His water supply fails, and he has nothing with which to slake his burning thirst. His tongue becomes swollen. He staggers like a drunken man. Visions of home and friends pass before his mind as he believes himself ready to perish. Suddenly he sees in the distance, rising out of the dreary sand, sandy waste, a palm tree, green and flourishing. Hope quickens his pulses. He presses on, knowing that that which gives vigor and freshness to the palm tree will cool his fevered blood and give him renewed life. As is the palm tree in the desert, a guide and consolation to the fainting traveler, so the Christian is to be to the world, or to be in the world. How many of us are that? And this is one of the reasons we're being persecuted, like right now, like the article, I think I put it up today. I can't remember what article I was working on when the hard drive crashed, but it was fun. Oh, yeah. Street preachers are warned, don't mention morality. Why? Well, the law, I think this is some, in the UK, the law is set up in such to where they don't want to offend anyone. And like I said in the article here, who's going to feel insecure and threatened when a preacher gets up there and says anything about the truth? Well, in today's world, everybody's going to get offended. So when they pass laws like that, just like the prophecy stated, the unjust laws are going to be coming out of the woodwork in our day, and they're here. But always keep in mind Acts 5:29. They can sit there and yell and scream at you all they want and tell you, don't preach in that name. Preaching it anyway. You know, if the Lord would have you do it, you're going to do it. And the nice thing about us doing it, the only way they can stop us is by using fear or literally killing us. Because we don't have a 501c3. We don't have that anchor or that ball and chain on our pulpits. All the other churches do. And because they've already proven themselves wolves in sheep's clothing, who are more concerned with the filthy lucre, like Jesus said, they're hirelings. The minute they are threatened on their pulpit they want to preach the truth, but when the government comes up and says, if you preach that, we're going to pull your 501c3 and you're going to lose all your finances. You're going to lose your money. Well, since that's where they stake their claim, that's their anchor, because Christ isn't, they quit preaching truth. And they become hirelings. And then the people that are in their church are all victims of Satan, anybody that he wants to send their way. Because I don't know how many times a month I get emails from people saying they're amazed at the truth we preach. They've never heard it before, and they're Seventh-day Adventists. I said, this is your message. I remember that day one when we started preaching this stuff in Fire Talk online. And that had been 15 years ago. I don't know how long, because maybe I should get a calendar and try to figure out exactly how many years ago that was when we were doing that Fire Talk thing. But I was shocked when I heard that. That you guys, I thought this was what you guys used to preach. And that's when I started realizing what's going on with this church. She goes on to say, he is to guide, talking about the Christian, like the palm tree, the good one. She says, he is to guide weary souls, full of unrest and ready to perish in the desert of sin, to the living water. How are we going to guide them to the living water if we're more concerned about rubbing two nickels together? Oh, you're going to take all my money away and you're going to give me excise taxes and penalties? Oh, forget that noise. And then keep the 501c3, like that one guy that ended up in prison, 3ABN guy, the younger brother. It's amazing how it becomes so clear in the minds of those looking on as to where their priorities are set. And it has nothing to do with what they were called to do. She says, he is to point his fellow men to him who gives to all the invitation. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. But when you're disobedient, you can't understand anything Jesus says. And so you might get bits and pieces. And if, now here's something that's really, really amazing about our Heavenly Father. Because the rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. If someone in one of these 501c3 or government churches, it's easier to say it that way. It's not just the Ninth Hour Church. They're all government churches now, all of them. So let's say you got a soul in that government church finding out about what we preach and what or they're just finding out the truth, let's say. Because they're reading their own Bibles. And they have these questions. I have no doubt in my mind that they walk up to their pastor and ask a question. If the Lord thy God wants them to hear the truth, that'll eventually get them to a point where they turn around and walk out of that church. That preacher's going to give them a verse that's going to cut their heart. He's going to believe it's going to go in one direction to keep them in the pew, when in fact it actually makes them leave the church. Because the Lamb of God is where the remnant or seed is going to go. We're not defiled by those churches. We're going to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And they kicked him out of the churches. So it's obvious we can't beat her. And so she says, the sky may be as brass, the burning sand may beat upon about the palm tree's roots and pile itself about its trunk. Yet the tree lives on, fresh and vigorous. And it's not just spiritually speaking here either. I mean, the Lord is pretty clear about spreading a table in the wilderness for us. We saw it happen as a family for 16 straight months. And I've seen it happen over the years. Like everybody knows, I've never asked for a donation. I just ask the Lord for when we need this or need that. And somehow he gets it here. And that's the best way to do it, because two things happen when you do it that way. Number one, you know he heard your prayer. And number two, you know he's pleased with the work, because he answered it. And yet number three is also into play here, because the person that sends the donation has proven, without even realizing it, that they can be used by God, because I never asked them. I asked their Father. He moved them. So she goes on and she says, remove the sand and you discover the secret of its life. Its roots strike down deep into waters hidden in the earth. Thus it is with the Christian. His life is hid with Christ and God. Jesus is to him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. His faith, like the rootlets of the palm tree, penetrates beneath the things that are seen, drawing life from the fountain of life. And amid all the corruption of the world, he is true and loyal to God. The sweet influence of Christ's righteousness surrounds him. It kind of upsets me, though, here that they got the dot, dot, dot after that, too. I can only imagine how far it went, but that's one of the downfalls of compilations. They like to keep it short and sweet. But she goes on and she says, the faces of men and women who walk and work with God express the peace of heaven. They are surrounded with the atmosphere of heaven. For these souls, the kingdom of God has begun. And this is one of the reasons you're going to start seeing, and I don't expect huge numbers coming into the church online, like in the chat room itself, because like I've been saying for years, not a lot of people really care much for, chat rooms, if you will. It's very distracting. You know, like I have a tendency to look away from the text chat. I actually preferred the old software, even though it was only running for Microsoft. But you can actually take the text chat portion of the old chat room and slide it over, and the whole text chat is turned off. Even though it keeps going in the background for everybody else, it's turned off for me. I can't see it. And that really comes in handy. And some people are like that. It distracts them. But the radio is, and that's why we always put the radio on, the WTPR thing. And for those of you on the radio, Sabbath blessings to you. That's why people hit that, because it's a little easier. And it's easier with the cell phones too, because you got to admit, using a cell phone, because I've come into this chat room using a cell phone, you can't use the mic on it with a cell phone. You can listen in, and unless you have a really stable browser, the sound will keep turning off on you. So it's just radio. Just go there. It's a straight flash stream. Comes right out. Live. So any hiccups, you're going to hear them. So anyway, she finishes by saying, they have Christ's... Oh, no. Backtrack a little bit. They are surrounded with the atmosphere of heaven. For these souls, the kingdom of God has begun. They have Christ's joy, the joy of being a blessing to humanity. They have the honor of being accepted for the Master's use. They are trusted to do his work in his name. And he's going to try you. He's going to test you and see if you can handle this. I mean, think about this, too. I mean, when you look back and you see 500 million Christians killed by the Catholic Church, a lot of people think, oh, what a waste. Their lives ended early. And, oh, how painful to die like this. I said, you know, quit looking at the little pictures. Quit looking at what the Catholic Church did. Look at what Christ did. All these people that were burned at the stake either were singing while they were burning, smiling or praying out loud while they were burning. And while they were dying, the people that were looking on were being blessed. And I know this for a fact, because when I was a young man, like that during that 16 months when I was reading the Bible to try to shut people up, I knew what I was going through in life. You know, being a hood, I had all sorts of legal issues and looking at some time in the Gray Bar Motel kind of stuff. And I looked around and I saw the Christians, and I wanted to, because I knew God as a kid. I remember walking to the prairies talking to him, right? But later on, he literally got me up against the wall to the point where I had no choice but to drop to my knees and say, can you help me now, please? And so I looked at Christians. And so you got to know, in those crowds when all those people were being burned alive or cut in half or skinned alive or buried alive, whatever the case may be with the Catholic Church, they did that a lot mostly for the fear factor, not realizing that people are in the crowd that have a desire to please God, and they see how those people die. And like when I was looking at these other people, especially this one guy I knew that was looking at similar problems legally, because being a biker, he did some bad things, and so, but he had just become a Christian during all his court situations, and the peace that he had affected me. Just like the peace that those like the people that were watching John Huss burn alive, singing, that had to affect them. It did. You know, I mean, that's one of the reasons the Catholic Church started doing the stuff in dungeons and stuff too, especially in certain areas where they weren't Catholic by majority. But because they realized for every Christian they burned, quite a few more would pop up. Because a martyr's death is an amazing testimony unto Christ. And like with what they're doing today. And this is why you can see Catholicism in Islam too. I mean, it's no mistake what they're doing on camera. I mean, seriously. Why would you commit a capital offense, a war crime? I mean, come on, these Muslims have to realize it's one thing to murder somebody. And it's one thing to claim you're murdering somebody because your religion tells you to. But to do it on camera, it's considered, and in the way they're doing it, is a war crime. They can be jailed and killed for that. But they're politically protected by the Vatican because they're working for Rome. But it's no different than the Inquisitions. Rome would do these things in front of it, like in small little towns and villages, and do it right in the center of the town square and burn someone at the stake. Everybody would come out and watch it. Because they didn't have TVs back then. A lot of people were into the blood and guts. And so they'd go out there and they'd watch it. And they were forced to watch it. Well, it's no different now. They're putting these videos on YouTube and all over the internet. And it's no mistake. You see like Fox News or CNN or MSNBC. They're all putting it on TV to try to keep that fear going. Look at the power of Islam. You know, just like back then, look at the power of the civil authorities, even though they were all Roman Catholic. And we now, today, we know that's how Rome works. They always hide behind somebody. So, don't let it bother you. And I've known this for years, and someone just sent me an email earlier. Let me see if I can, let's see, where is it? Yeah, brother, well, he's one of those guys that doesn't come to the chat room, but he is part of our number. And it's on Brass Check TV, and I posted this on the website years ago about how the war on terror is actually a fraud. A lot of the stuff is manufactured. It's photoshopped. I mean, some of the things you see, like take for example September 11th, when the airplane is going into the building, the second one. I just put a video on the site, and I've got probably over 100 videos, but this one is the best to date. Because this stuff is going to come out sooner or later, because they can't keep all this stuff hidden. It's just like when somebody just put a video on the, and it's in this video too, where they actually show a cruise missile hitting the Pentagon. No wings, just a cruise missile coming across, boom, hitting the Pentagon. Finally, someone posted it online. Well, also on the video, the guy zooms in and slows down the plane as it's coming into the building. And the plane, the left wing, somehow ends up behind the neighboring building. It's called layering, you know, the layering effect. It's just like I did with that one thing with the July 7th bombing in London. You see, these guys, they said that these guys were all involved in the bombing. And they have them all on camera. But you could tell they were all photoshopped into the picture. Because, first of all, around their heads and around their bodies were pixelated images, which means they were pulled out of one colored background and put them in another. Plus, the last guy, as he's walking, he's got to be 10, 20 feet away from the fence behind him, but yet his left arm is behind the fence. A layering issue. And those of you that mess with graphics, you know what layering is. It's a pain. You can have the whole graphic look really, really cool, and all of a sudden, oh, man. You know, something's behind something or something's in front of something, and it's just, it didn't, and then you got to redo the whole thing. It's really annoying. So, anyway, and that amazes me too, because the money that they have, you think they'd have spent some time on that. So, my point in all this is, a lot of what you see on the TV, yeah, it's pretty disgusting, and it's crazy, and it's meant to be scary, just like with Hollywood. It's how they've always done it. And the special effects, this is a reason you have CGI and some of these special effects. I mean, they can make it look like it's a news report when it's actually been manufactured in a studio, you know. And so don't trust everything you see on the news. There's a lot of propaganda. I mean, it's all controlled. But still, at the same time, we are looking at the second coming very, very soon. This is just Satan's way of trying to garner as many souls into his camp by using fear. He's not going to be able to get as many people to kill as many people as he wants, unless, of course, until the actual mark is enforced. And the only way to get the people's minds at a point where they're going to look at us and say, yeah, you guys are worthy of death because you won't keep Sunday holy, and we have to deal with all these tornadoes, earthquakes, and all this other crazy stuff. So it's all your fault, right? The only way they're going to be able to get those people to that point is to make everything that you're seeing happening in the news seem normal. This is why you started, you know, rock and roll with Elvis Presley, and now you've got rock and roll with guys like Marilyn Manson. They slowly but surely bring the evil in to the point where it becomes acceptable, no matter how vile it is on stage. Well, everything else is the same way. The movies are more violent. The video games are more violent. It used to be boxing with big fat boxing gloves. Now, bare knuckle fights. Some guys are dying in the cages. And it's entertaining. And Islam just recently started holding executions in old, ancient Roman Colosseum-type buildings. And they're the only ones they're not knocking down, by the way. That also lets the cat out of the bag. I mean, come on. They're destroying all these other ancient artifacts that are supposed to be worth millions and millions. But for some reason, all the ones that have any connection with Rome, they're told to leave standing. And then they use them. But the real clincher has to be that video I put up where the Roman, or the that Muslim left because he saw all this stuff about Mary and Jesus in the Quran. The other thing was the way they... I'm trying to remember exactly how this went. It wasn't just him. Oh, yeah, the salute. You got the Roman soldiers, the way they salute with the arm stretch out. And then you've got the Hitler with the arm straight out. And now you've got Islam, the arm straight out. And I think the KKK does that too, don't they? Even though they're... Well, yeah, they have the swastika as well. And Islam has a swastika. It's exact same swastika. It's just a little wavy on the ends with a dot over every arm. That's first found. And Hitler admitted it. He saw the swastika first on the Vatican walls. I actually have pictures of it on the Vatican floor and some cathedrals on the floor, like the tiles. Actual swastikas everywhere. So, anyway, hope and pray you're blessed. Be back in a minute.